Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Don't Feed the Ducks by R.S. Rude is a charming children's tale about the dangers of feeding ducks on the pond as the ducks grow too dependent and forget how to fend for themselves. This delightful story recounts what actually happened in Ashland, Oregon. R.S. is a children's book author from Central Point, Oregon, a proud grandfather of 22. Yes, you heard right, 22, and a great grandfather of six. He crafts his stories that entertain and educate young readers, reflecting his passion for storytelling and imparting valuable life lessons. Don't Feed the Ducks, It Makes Them Dependent was featured this spring at the 30th anniversary of the L.A. Times Festival of Books. And author R.S. Rude joining us on This Week in America. Bob, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
22. I had to go back and read that twice to make sure that was right. You have your own focus group there, don't you?
Absolutely. Yep.
You can test market.
It is a large family, and we're close, and almost all of them are here locally. We see them all the time.
Fantastic, and we'll find that several actually were participants in the book Don't Feed the Ducks. Available wherever books are sold, and I didn't want to give away too much of it. Tell us a little bit what the book is about. Give us the 3,000-foot flyover of the book. I didn't want to give away too much for you.
Well, the book takes place in Ashland, Oregon, which is just 20 miles from here, and we used to live in Ashland, and this park is spectacular. It's one of the most beautiful city parks you'll ever see anywhere. It's nestled in the foothills areas and of the Siskiyou Mountain Range. And that's where Ashland actually is. It sits right there in the mountains. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. And the park has this incredible pond, duck pond. There's two of them. And they're just really incredible. People like to go there. And we went there when we lived there. And we still go there, and it's fun to go, and you feed the ducks. And the government used to have a vending machine there, or several of them, and you could put 25 cents in and get a handful of duck food and feed the ducks.
Oh, yes.
And what fun is that? That is an absolute hoot. Well, it got to a point where too many ducks, too much duck poop. Kids couldn't play in the park like they were supposed to be able to do.
Yes.
So there we were. This story about how the government through the Department of Forestry had some well-intended ideas and kindness toward ducks and people, but then it turned bad. There's the law of unintended consequences. Sometimes there are good consequences. Sometimes there are bad consequences. And in this case, believe it or not, Rick, the government saw the problem they created and fixed it. And an amazing thing they did, too. Can't give out the answer, but I tell you, it was an amazing and unbelievably simple. So the story kicks off with me telling the story to my granddaughters, the three of them. And we just enjoyed talking about the ducks. Actually, to tell you the truth, how it happened is I had them on my lap and telling them the story. And I wrote conversations into the book that they had and questions they had. So it was actually kind of a fun thing to do. And so the simple common sense solution that children understand, even children understand, that adults or government, for example, just don't get the point. So that's what it's about, a solution that comes from a problem that government never solves their own problems. They just create the problems. So yes, fundamentally it's that set in the duck pond in a park.
It beautifully illustrated as well. The book is Don't Feed the Ducks, It Makes Them Dependent by R.S. Rude. That's R-O-O-D. Got a Facebook page. Facebook page is author R.S. Rude. And if you go to our website, you can link on directly to information on the book and information on the Facebook page for Bob as well. Tell me a little bit about what happened. This buildup here, you've got what's really this neat thing that's sort of getting out of hand. Any local news coverage? Did that get some attention up there? Newspaper, local radio, TV?
Well, one would think so.
Yes.
But no. But I will say this. All the local people certainly knew it. And I haven't lived there for a good number of years, but we go down there. And I have clients down there. And all I have to do is say, remember the ducks, the duck pond? Oh, yes, I certainly do. Everybody knew. It was a major, major problem. And the kids couldn't even play. And the duck pond was beautiful until one day it wasn't. It just like happened overnight. So, yeah, the local news never caught on. Why they did, I don't know, because the park is used an awful lot by the city and all sorts of events going on. There's a band shell there and an ice rink there and a ponds there and 2 miles worth of hiking trails. It's amazing. And a creek going right through it.
Boy,
it's
it sounds
a beautiful,
beautiful
place.
And we've got
and
some,
so,
yeah, go
but
ahead.
They didn't understand. I mean, it's so beautiful, in fact, that I don't think a lot of people saw it as a problem that it truly was.
How did you hear
and
about
everybody
this?
Knew it, too.
How did you hear about this? Did you just discover it when you're there with the girls and you suddenly realize this is getting out of hand? Or was it word of mouth that, hey, they got a real problem up there?
No, I used to go there all the time and feed the ducks and spend, you know, quarters and get the ducks and feed them and the little quacky ducks, baby ducklings going around. You feed them. It's really, they're very tame. And what happened was, we all noticed it was just getting too messy. You couldn't even walk on the grass. Mm. You couldn't walk on the sidewalk. You couldn't stand near the pond because of the smell. It used to be nice and blue and green, you know, colors, just watercolors. But then it turned this absolutely terrible algae green. You think nothing can live underneath that water. Well, the ducks floated on top of it, but there are a lot of them. But yeah, what happened is went there one day and the vending machines were gone. And the solution to the problem was staring everybody in the face. And that's how we discovered it. I go, now this is really interesting. I could look over maybe 100 yards away and see two U.S. forestry cabins and U.S. forestry trucks and U.S. forestry personnel with those Smokey the Bear hats on.
Oh, yes.
And, I mean, in this beautiful, beautiful setting, and all of a sudden, there are fewer ducks. And that's what got my notice. I began to really notice it at that point. And then I thought, wow, this is really interesting. And it kind of inspired me to think, here we have a federal agency that, by the way, the U.S. Forestry handles some 93 million acres of forest and grasslands, 154 parks they run as well. And they're massive. And they were allowing everyone to feed. They thought, well, what a nice thing. We'll just feed the ducks and put out duck food too. And then one day, the problem got so bad, they had to come up with a solution. And they came up with the simplest, brightest, most amazing solution. I like to say brief and amazing. It was and still is.
What a story. This has got so many different elements to it. And this is a book not only for children. You will enjoy sharing it with a child. You will think, feeding the ducks, I would love to do that. It's something that adults would jump into without giving it any thought. And the story is so well told. When did you decide to write the story? At what point did you think, you know, this would make a good children's book? A lot of lessons here, a lot of themes. It's a colorful place. When did you decide to start writing it?
Well, to tell you the truth, it was 2015. Every summer, we'd go listen to the band in the band shell, because it was a symphonic band. I mean, it's beautiful, wonderful music, echoing through the mountains and through the park and maybe 1,000 people there listening, just sitting on the grass. So we were going down there on a regular basis. And when we discovered that this amazing solution and with about the ducks, because the take my grandkids and we'd play, there's a little a Japanese garden there, and they'd go in that and just run around the park. And of course, we were always with them. And then at the duck pond, we discovered, gee, things are different here. Huh, imagine that. And I saw what the solution was, what the government was doing. I said, now this is a story. This is a story of redemption, among other things, of how, you know, things look bad, but there is hope. Just simple common sense solutions to problems that are not insurmountable. They're easy enough to do if one just thinks in a common sense childlike way.
And often we don't do that. Here's a case where that's exactly the way they responded, and the results were totally turning it around. The book comes to life with the characters. Talk about the characters, their story, and it's such a cute story, and they're so well done, we feel like we know these people.
Well, I appreciate that. The kids have a great deal of imagination. And I was raised telling story, and my kids would tease me. It's a story, story, story. So tell us another story. Oh, story, story, story. Here comes another story. Well, my grandchildren know that I'm a storyteller, and I just make them up as they go. But in this case, I wanted to test it out because I thought, you know, I'm onto something I think that is quite profound in its simplicity, and it's being so profound, actually very profound. So I gathered my three granddaughters, 6, 8, and 10, as Ember, Grace, and Sky, and began to tell them story. And it captured their imagination. And I wrote much of the conversations from them. So you're actually hearing their voices, which is pretty cool.
That is
pretty cool. It's a short book, but I think it's powerful. And it is true. You do get to know the kids a little bit, too.
It's a fantastic story. And you talk about that. It's brief. It gets right to the point. It holds your attention throughout. It's beautifully illustrated. What was it like for the three girls to be part of this and then see them appearing in the book? What's this been like for them?
Well, they absolutely loved it. When I wrote it, it didn't take me long to write it. I thought about it for years. And then I had it outlined. And when I was ready, I had all my ducks in a row, so to speak, I went ahead and wrote it. And they're thrilled, especially, I, of course, gave them a copy of it. They took it to school.
Interesting.
And what they did, it was really kind of fun. Just here recently, this last spring, they were supposed to go to school as their favorite literary character. And all the kids in their classes, it was a school thing, because it's elementary school. And so I said, what did you do? They said, we went as ourselves. I said, what? We are our favorite literary characters. So what they did, they took pictures of the cover and back of the book and some illustrations and pinned them to their shirts front and back. And there they were. Because the book starts out, Ember, Grace, and Sky love ducks. And so they went to school as the characters in their own book.
What a great story.
And they got to showcase it. And, of course, they're made celebrities by the kids and the teachers. It was a lot of fun for them.
Well, yeah, featured in the book and very creative. It's like, we've got this great idea. Let's just go as ourselves and let's see what happens. And they did, and they were successful in doing that. When we talked before, we talked ahead of time to set up. There's a video version of most of our shows. This one's included in that you'll find on YouTube. You'll Google it. You'll find it at our website. We decided to run a video test ahead of time and had a chance to talk with Bob and talk about the Venezuelan Uber driver and the impact he had on you and the story and the title of the story.
Well, like I was saying, it was about 2015 when I noticed the amazing solution to the huge problem. By the way, if you've never seen a bunch of crowds of ducks in a park that you can't even move around and you step on everything all the time, they're fighting and whatnot, it's quite an impressive situation. Someone's got to do something about this.
Yes.
Well, I was on business in 2017 in Florida, Fort Lauderdale. And I had to take an Uber from point A to point B. And I had this idea for this book to write one day. And so I simply engaged in conversation, sort of a pre-marketing idea, just to see how it might fly.
Yes. Okay.
And so he said, I said, you, and so I kind of told him the story and whatnot a little bit. And then I said, where are you from? He says, I'm from Venezuela. And I said, are you here legally? He said, oh, yes. I said, Venezuela's oil rich. It's a prosperous country. He says, not anymore. That's why I left. I said, what do you mean? I don't understand. He says, well, everybody is getting the dole from the government. Nobody has to work. And there's lots of regulations. You just can't start a business. You just can't do anything because the government has put a damper on all individual initiative. He says, I want to work. So I've come to the United States. I said, but I don't understand. What's the deal? I mean, he says, look, everybody down there is being fed by the government. They're feeding the ducks and nobody wants to work. And I want to. So I left and I'm here legally to work. I want to build a future for my wife and my family. I go, oh, no, I did not solicit that from him. I didn't say something like, you know, are they feeding the ducks down there?
Oh, yes, yes.
I did say that. He grabbed it and he laughed. They're feeding the ducks. And he started laughing. He says, that is so good. That's exactly what they're doing. And I said to myself, maybe I'm onto something here. Maybe yep. Somebody else might think the same. There's something about initiative, human nature, that we want to thrive. We want to grow.
Yes.
We want to be independent. We want to be strong. We want to be healthy. And there are things that people can do for us and to us, but there are things that we need to do for ourselves. And being fed all the time. You know, when we were children, we were fed. But at some point, we got to start learning to take care of ourselves.
Yep.
Exactly. And so ultimately, in a humorous sort of way and a very real way, that's what this book is about.
There are so many themes in there. It's the perfect children's book. It's entertaining. It's got a great story. And whether they understand it or not, they're learning something. They're learning, picking up on a message, something, a life lesson as they're reading the book. Talk about this. When the kids read the book, what do you hope they pick up on? And you just mentioned that, this whole nature and how nature works and conservation and environment, it all feeds into the storyline, doesn't it?
It truly does. And it's open for general conversation all over the place. There's themes everywhere on this thing. And I didn't realize that at the time. But there's political themes. There's just work themes. There's coming up with critical thinking to realistically identify the problem and the reasonable solutions. And I look at it that way in the process of teaching these things to my grandchildren. It was all about critical thinking because there's different ways to think. There's artistic ways of thinking, but there's critical ways of thinking, the what, when, where, why, hows, and whos of any situation. And so that's driven this book. And I decided to write it for children because the problems that we have primarily are caused by we adults,
yes,
primarily. And too many adults are just not teachable. And the principle behind that is very simple. If you think you know something, you're unteachable. If you're reading an instruction manual, you say, I know that one. Oh, I know that. Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Oh, I can do that. I can put this together in my sleep. Not a problem. Well, we approach life that way. Oh, no, not just feeding the ducks. It's fine. No, not an issue. Well, maybe it is. Oh, your kid's grown up. You can do this. It's fine. Not a problem. I don't see any problem. People don't have street sense, and they misunderstand what is good for people. In the story, the ducks lost their duck dignity, and people can lose their dignity too, that maybe not raised with dignity, and the common courtesy, cleanliness, and etiquette, those sorts of things are not taught. And to live within your own boundaries, don't trip over into somebody else's. So in the story, the ducks surge the borders of the park, surge them. They're invited in. And the kids say, that's not good. It's, and in the discussions, my little girls, granddaughters, got the message really, really quick that these are life lessons. And also I taught them about a principle. When it comes to people and their dogs, adults and their dogs, you can always tell in a young couple if they're going to have, when they have kids, that they're going to have kids, and the kids are going to be lousy, bad kids. And you say, how do you know? Well, look at the way maybe their dog is being raised.
Interesting.
I've seen that time and time and time again. Now, interestingly, I used to shoe horses. I was a professional farrier. I've trained animals. And you learn real quick that animals require a certain amount of training and discipline, as do children. And some people, oh, you just love them. No, you can't. These people in Ashland, they were loving the ducks to their destruction. And that's just not good, because the kids understood, my grandchildren understood, love builds up. I love you so much, man. Well, wait a second. Why are you doing these lousy things? This is not love. Let me be lazy, giving me things that I really don't need or do you want, not making me be clean, not making me be responsible, not forging self-reliance. These sorts of moral issues are quite amazing. So adults miss this, but kids don't. So the interesting thing is, I want to teach adults, but the best way to teach adults is to teach the children, because the children are malleable in their minds. They can learn. And when adults have to think about this, never thought of it quite like this before.
Well, yeah, that's what you do. You read that, and it's like, that's a great point. I never would have thought of that. So it's more than just a cute children's story. Here's a story that's got so much meaning to it. And leave it to the creativity of the child to come up with the storylines that you can discuss with them. It's a great read-along book. The book's available, again, wherever books are sold. The name of the book is Don't Feed the Ducks, It Makes Them Dependent. Tell me about, we've got a few minutes left here at the end, the power of storytelling. This is not your first story. You do a number of stories. You use the story, I'm sure, as you're teaching the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, different stories, different lessons. Is this something that's overlooked maybe anymore, is storytelling? You can really get a message across, not in a teaching manner, but in just a conversational manner, and still get the themes across.
Exactly. I was raised, my dad was born in 1904 in a little frontier town called Kuski, Idaho. It was a Nez Perce Indian camp originally. And they didn't have TV. And my dad, he was 46 when I was born. And he always said, play with a kid's mind, tell stories, convey good things to your kids, work with their minds all the time, let their imaginations grow and develop. And so we would take little trips here and there in the car, and he would get a story going. And there were, but we had five kids in my family, and we'd have progressive stories. And so storytelling is a very important thing. I used to be a pastor in the youth group. I would tell a story, and they love it because there's always a point to it.
Yes.
And they get to thinking about it. And then when they try to tell somebody about the story, they're actually telling a story themselves. They can apply it to themselves. So I think it's a skill. And there's some really, I'm not necessarily all that great, except I got something to say, I think. And
oh, yes.
And I think that the story, telling a story, a good story, let's face it, we are all stories to be known and read of all men.
Yes.
Let ourselves be read.
Tell a story. It's so powerful, and what a great way to get the message across. And the book now is teaching, touching so many kids all across the country. Book available wherever books are sold. Nice job with this. Don't Feed the Ducks. It makes them dependent. What are you working on? You got something else you're working on?
Well, as a matter of fact, I mentioned Kuski, Idaho, this itty-bitty town up the Clearwater River at the confluence of the North and South Forks of the Clearwater River in the panhandle of Idaho. And it's about the day the cow fell out of the pasture. And
okay.
I transport my three, Ember, Grace, and Sky. I transport them back there to 1893. And they have to learn how to work from the perspective of today. All of a sudden, now they're thrust into a brand new type of world that is work, yet fun, yet dangerous, yet exciting. All these things.
Yes.
And they get to learn. And they get to learn about Kuski, Idaho. They're going to learn about the Nez Perce Indians. They're going to learn about Jesse Spotted Eagle. They're going to learn about all these things. They're going to learn from the first school teacher in Kuski, Idaho, whose name was Mary Patterson, and I actually met her. Mm. And she told the stories of walking the kids to and from class in downtown, there's only one street, Kuski, Idaho, with a six shooter on her hip. And she proved it. She pulled out a picture. I was 10 years old when she was telling the story, and we were visiting her. Unbelievable. So these things are just rich, and they work. And so Mary Patterson's in this, and in this story, because it's charming, it's wonderful, and it's one of discovery, and one of solutions.
Yes, we need more of those. Solutions and figuring it out. And now, when will that be out? Are you thinking maybe yet this year?
It's probably going to be next year.
Okay.
It's not going to, I'm well into it, but it hasn't happened yet. let's put it this way. The thoughts are there. The outline's there. The research is there in Kuski, Idaho, and the storyline is already well developed. It's just a matter, and I've already written the first few pages. And once I start writing, like, for instance, Don't Feed the Ducks. I thought about it for a good number of years. I outlined it, and then I got serious about it and wrote it in 4 hours.
So some night you might find that Bob is finishing his story, and we can talk about it here. I love that story. There's so many ways you can go with that. It's got to be, you could write a 400-page book based on all the stories that come out of there.
That's true. That's true. That's really, really true. But yeah, I one of my philosophies is this, and children need to be taught good philosophies. One of them is keep things brief and amazing, because nobody really likes long and boring.
Yes.
So brief and amazing is my answer to long and boring.
Well, I like that. Brief and amazing. And it's possible to do. You've proven that in this book. The book is under, how many pages is the book?
29.
Yeah, it was under 30, so I would have been real close to that. It packs a punch. It's got so much. You can go back and read it 3, 4, 5, 6 times and find something different to talk about each time you go back. Each child will point out something different as they're reading the book as well. It's just a fun experience, isn't it?
Oh, truly. And I do want to give a plug to the, you indicated the graphics.
Yes.
That was done by a 21-year-old local graphic designer.
Ah, very talented.
And she and I got to know her just a little bit because I know her parents, And she says, I can do this. And she went and went to the park, took pictures, and that she captured, and she pictures of my grandchildren. She captured the whole thing. Unbelievable. I look at those things as she captured the park. And she did a whole storyboard, the whole nine yards. She did it professionally. So I was really, really impressed. Because it's a the graphics are great. They're great. So that's Alondra Gerlach is her name. And this is her first work doing this, but she's a graphic designer, so she is very creative.
Fantastic. You've got the text, the graphics make the text come alive. It's just a job well done, a total package that that Bob has been able to produce. R.S. Hood, our guest on the program, that's H-O-O-D. His Facebook page is authorrsrood.com. Book available wherever books are sold, Amazon. We've got the direct Amazon link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, but other bookstores as well. And my thanks to Mainspring Books, making your stories come to life, as they have done with so many authors that we've talked about on the program. We thank them for arranging the conversation today. Bob, it's been a pleasure. The time has gone by too quickly. When you have the next book out there, I'd be fascinated to have you back and talk about that as well. Thank you for joining us on the program.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's been a real pleasure. I really appreciate it. And don't feed the ducks.
Don't
it
feed the ducks.
It does make them dependent.
It makes them dependent. R.S. Rood, our guest, and with the final word on tonight's program. You're listening to, by the way, This Week in America, and there's more after we come back from these messages. Stay tuned.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.